Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. You can hit us up on our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails. Matt went through a ton of the text messages yesterday that you guys had dropped for us. Next week starts Media Day on Monday, so very excited to get your guys' takes about that. But if you want to give us a call or drop us a text or a tweet, 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Today's episode is sponsored by DoorDash. Long day at work, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. That's DoorDash, promo code Locked On for $5 off your first order of $15 or more. Matt, welcome back. Thanks for holding the fort down the last couple of days. Excited to start what we hope to be about 10 days worth of episodes talking about every single player on this Bulls roster. So we're going to start our player previews today. But I wanted to mention something really quick to you. I know you had done the Rodman 30 for 30 review, and hopefully by now everybody's seen it. But last night I got a chance to watch it in full, and really this is kind of like the second time, but from start to finish. I kept falling asleep during it. But I wanted to just mention how sad I felt like for Dennis Rodman. Although he was kind of crazy and he's had all these crazy antics and weird relationships with people, the 30 for 30 make me kind of feel sad about his life, especially like growing up and how he ended up getting to the NBA. I thought it was a really interesting story, and I didn't know a whole lot about Dennis Rodman's like younger side to him and what it took for him to get to the NBA. But what did you feel as being like a huge Dennis Rodman fan? How did you overall feel about the 30 for 30 and the way that they filmed it and put it together?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the doc was well done, well executed. And as you mentioned, I did a deep dive into my thoughts on the documentary and my thoughts on Rodman in a previous episode soon after it dropped. And I mean, I have to say, I essentially share your point of view that the feeling that I was left with is that it was just sadness. I think he's been a misunderstood person for a really long time. And I think he has always just been trying to figure out how to get people to like him and how to get people to love him while also himself, you know, because of his very tough childhood and his tough adolescence, feeling in many ways like he's incapable of love. And I think it's really a thing that gets in his own way. And I think all of the things that he feels about not having love in his life is kind of self-inflicted.
I felt it fascinating,
and it's really just, you know, it's tragic, and it's a tragic background about the, you know, the human being behind the greatest rebounder ever and a Hall of Fame basketball player.
I felt it kind of fascinating, the relationship he had with Chuck Daly and like how important that was to the sort of shift in how we saw Dennis Rodman as the NBA player. Like in the way his teammates talked about him early on with the Pistons, and then all of a sudden after that kind of breakup, he felt like abandoned. And I felt like that was like, to me, the most important part of this documentary and the whole shift in how he was, you know, projecting himself to the media, and also kind of how his NBA career, you know, on and off the floor sort of changed just from that standpoint. And obviously, too, the pretty sad story about him nearly committing suicide, and that sort of changed his mantra going throughout the NBA on and off the floor. But if you haven't seen it yet and haven't had a chance to watch it start to finish, I highly suggest it. And I highly suggest going back. That's going to be one that's going to be easily be rewatchable. But I did feel a little bit of sadness, even though he does say some weird things, does have a lot of complicated things going on in his life. And let's not forget, too, he's considers himself friends with the dictator, too. So, but I did. I felt a little bit of sadness when I was watching this, just kind of learning about his upbringing. But we wanted to get to player previews. And so we're going to start with the back end of the bench. So we're going to talk about a handful of guys today on this episode. But as we get closer to preseason and the start of the season, and we get to the actual starting lineup and the bulk of the roster, we'll start doing separate episodes for each one of these guys. So, Matt, we're going to start with the bench, starting with guys like Shaq Harrison, Cristiano Felicio, Ryan Arcidiacono, and then the two-way player Alex Makoka. Who do you want to start with? So we're going to start with four of the back end guys on the bench. Talk a little bit about what they did last year, how we see them impacting this Bulls team this year, and anything else we have on all four of these guys. So Matt, let's start with Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono. I think this is going to be the most interesting because the point guard carousel right now as it stands seems like it's very, very crowded. And these two guys, with playing a decent chunk of minutes last year for the Bulls, I don't think are going to see that type of playing time this year. What do you expect from either Shaq Harrison or Ryan Arcidiacono? And if you had to pick one of them, who would you rather see get more playing time this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to make a guess, I would say that if one of those two guys is going to be in Boylan's rotation out of the gate, it's going to be Archie. You know, we know that Jim Boylan loves Shaq Harrison and all the ways that he contributed to this, you know, depleted roster last season at times, primarily on the defensive end. And he's a versatile player on the defensive end, and he's certainly a try-hard guy on that end of the floor. But we know about Shaq Harrison's offensive limitations. And then when you think about Arcidiacono, another Jim Boylan favorite, he, like Shaq, is another one of those try-hard guys that is always going to be, you know, the apple of Jim Boylan's eye. And Bulls fans can kind of scoff at that if they want to, but it is the reality that we're living in. Those two guys were brought back for a reason, the big reason being Jim Boylan said, give me guys like this. But Archie, to his own credit, had the third best assist-to-turnover ratio in the NBA last season. And again, Bulls fans might scoff at that and say that he's offensively limited, and you know the only reason that he's in the league. I like somebody asking about Archie in Casey Johnson's first mailbag for NBC Sports that was put up this morning said, oh, come on, like Archie, he's so inefficient and ineffective offensively. But I mean, pump the brakes. Yeah, it's a shame that we were forced to be in a situation where we needed Archie to play all those minutes last season, but we know what we're getting with him. It would be nice if he could up his, you know, his lethal ability to shoot the long ball, because he had really hot streaks and then really cold streaks last season. If he could become a reliable, consistent threat behind the three-point line and maintain that ball security as a backup floor general and do all of the, you know, try-hard Bulls across the chest things that Jim Boylan loves, I think you're going to see Archie in this rotation, even if we don't have any injuries in the backcourt.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, too, is I hate to say it, but kind of expect injuries this season. And both of these guys are going to get decent. I think they're going to get opportunities this season to play and showcase what they have. And whether or not either one of them beat each other out, that's kind of what we're going to have to see. But the Bulls haven't proved to be healthy at all over the last three or four seasons. So to me, I have to just consider the fact that there's going to be two or three guys that are going to go down with an injury and miss a chunk of time here or there throughout this season. It's just the way the NBA goes, and it's the way that this Bulls team has gone. I mean, we've seen Chandler Hutchison go down before even playing, before even having an actual official practice to kick off the season. So I expect both of those guys at some point in some role, some capacity to get playing time throughout this season. The impressive thing about Shaq Harrison, I thought, at the back end of the season, I know it didn't really mean anything for any of the Bulls players besides the guys trying to make rosters. But impressive thing, you know, we talk about his defensive a lot and how he's got his hands basically in every passing lane. He was one of the fastest players on the floor in the entire NBA on the defensive side last year. We talked about his ability to tip balls, cause turnovers, just be a disruption on the defensive end. But I was also impressed with his offense last year, especially in the last 3 months of the season. He had a true shooting percentage of 52.7 in February, 53.9 in March, which is actually his highest of his career with the Bulls, and 49.3% in April. So that's, if he can give us a little bit of something, you know, show us that he can get a bucket or two here or there. The main thing for him is going to be defense, though. So I think if the Bulls are looking for offense, they may shy more towards Archie Diakono than they will Shaq. But if they're looking for a defensive stopper, maybe Shaq Harrison goes in the game instead of Ryan Archie Diakono. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if there's a certain player who's just absolutely murdering the Bulls on any given night, and Jim Boylan is looking around and saying, well, who do I have? Who can I really trust to try to slow this guy down, whoever that guy might be? I think when you're talking about front court players, Boylan's going to turn to Thad Young because we all know how skilled he is at guarding some of the bigs who are the most powerful scorers in this league. And that's one of the big reasons the Bulls brought him in. But then when you're talking about guarding 1 through 3, of course, obviously, Chris Dunn is in that conversation as well as an above-average defender for as long as he's on this roster. But beyond that, Shaq Harrison is going to be Jim Boylan's next man up if you're trying to make a difference on the defensive end. You mentioned getting his hands in passing lanes. He had 2.2 steals per 36 minutes last season, led the league in a lot of defensive statistics when it came to creating those turnovers. And, you know, he has no shot. I think he scored like around 12 points per 36 last season. And he doesn't quite have the same ability to, you know, bring the ball up and run offensive sets like Archie does. So I think, like you said, it's going to depend on what exactly Boylan needs and whether the Bulls are trying to, you know, maintain the, you know, the position battle in a game where they're ahead, or if they are trying to ignite a defense that's lagging, and in that case it'll be Shaq.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think with Shaq Harrison too, another thing to think about is I feel like both Ryan Archie Diakono and him have two different specialties when it comes to being able to score. Ryan Archie Diakono, I think, is the better three-point threat. You're looking for three-point outside shooting, you put him in the game. Also looking for somebody to facilitate, pass the ball first. Kind of like you said, Ryan Archie Diakono goes in the game. But I think Shaq Harrison's ability to go to the basket, he showed this in March, too. I mean, he had a handful of games where he scored 15, 20 points. And I know in blowouts, it's hard to kind of evaluate anybody playing in those. But Shaq, if he can find a way to finish at the rim, be a defensive disruptor, I think he'll find a way to get himself at least a few minutes in Jim Boylan's rotation. Again, I have to factor in the idea that there is going to be one of these guys that are going to miss a decent chunk of time this season, just because the Bulls have not proved to us that they can stay healthy all season long. The one thing I wanted to mention about Ryan Archie Diakono, though, his three-point shooting, he had a month stretch right after Fred Hoiberg left that he was atrocious from three. Going under Jim Boylan, and most of the Bulls were atrocious shooting the three right as Jim Boylan started. But his season numbers, his totals last year, actually turned out to be pretty decent. Pre-All-Star break, he shot 36.1% from three, so that was pretty good. And then the 24 games post-All-Star break, he shot 41.7% from three. So if he's able to do that on top of his ability to look to pass first, Archie could see himself with a decent chunk of minutes, I think, in a legit role for this team this year, even if everybody does stay healthy.
I think so, too. As I mentioned, and you pointed out there, with that specific month, we saw a really bad shooting streak from Archie, and then some really impressive stuff. And I think when he was slumping, wasn't he dealing with like a shoulder injury, as I recall? And I think maybe that could have had something to do with his form just being a little off and his three-point shooting just being so atrocious for that stretch. So if he finds himself in a groove and can find himself, and then that's the other thing, is whether or not he gets real minutes. Because it's hard, and we've seen it with players before, whether Bulls or otherwise, it's hard to find a groove as a shooter if you're coming off the bench and you're coming off the bench with no consistency. If you know your role, you know the minutes you're going to get every night, then you can have easier route to knocking down your shots and feeling the flow of the game. As opposed to, oh crap, we need somebody to go get in there and try and knock down a couple threes. That's a lot harder for players. So, and then the other thing about Shaq Harrison, and as you were mentioning, whether or not this team can stay healthy, that is another way that Shaq might find his way into this rotation, as opposed to Archie just being a guard that Boylan likes to have in there. Is, you know, we've talked about Chandler Hutchison and this hamstring injury that's probably going to keep him out for the first part of camp. We haven't gotten a concrete update on that recently, but we haven't gotten any positive news other than it's just a strain, but we haven't heard any updates since then. And then, of course, the question mark that is Denzel Valentine and whether or not he's actually going to have a healthy season. So as tough as it was to accept that as the reality, we saw lots of times, last season when Boylan would play Shaq at the three and go basically a three-guard lineup because they were just so limited. Knowing the questions and concerns as far as the lack of depth at the wing behind Otto on this roster, that's another way that Shaq could see some minutes.
I have a question for you. First, think about it in terms of the Bulls keeping Chris Dunn around right now, probably for the majority of the season. What scenario do you see Shaq Harrison being able to gain more minutes or move into this rotation with Chris Dunn still on the roster? I think that's the biggest barrier for Shaq Harrison in earning minutes this year is the fact that I think Satoransky, Kobe White, and Chris Dunn are automatics to have minutes at least early on in the season. Do you think Jim Boylan, sort of what he did, and I know it's different cases with guys like Blakeney and Dunn, but sort of what he did with like Blakeney and Parker last year where both of those guys didn't really want to buy in. If Chris Dunn starts out the season struggling, do you see Jim Boylan maybe lessening down his minutes and allowing Shaq Harrison to go in there just to change things up? You think Jim Boylan sticks with Chris Dunn throughout the season no matter if he struggles or not?
I don't think that decision is up to Jim Boylan, to be putting it quite bluntly.
Really?
No. I think when it comes to Chris Dunn, the number of minutes Chris Dunn gets will be dictated by how much this front office wants to try to raise his trade value before the trade deadline. And Jim Boylan will not have a say in that because Jim Boylan will say, yes, sir, Mr. Paxson, sir, whatever you say, sir. I'm serious. Like, I don't think if Chris Dunn is struggling and actually lowering his trade value as opposed to raising it, they might have an internal conversation about Jim Boylan saying, look, I'd really like to turn to Archie here, or let's get the rookie Kobe White some more minutes, because I think out of the gate, Kobe White is not going to play nearly as many minutes as Bulls fans would like to see him play. I'm just telling y'all right now, whatever number of minutes you think Kobe White is going to get out of the gate this season, divide it in half. Or, you know, multiply it by 0.75, whatever, whether you're being generous or strict with whatever your estimation is. Kobe's not going to get that many minutes out of the gate. And I think it's because they want to see what Chris Dunn can do. They want to give him one more shot and also probably try to raise his trade value. And that is beyond, you know, that is above Jim Boylan's pay grade.
Yeah, and for Jim Boylan, I think he's, you know, part of his old school mentality, and I know he doesn't like when people say that, the old school mentality is make your rookies work and earn their opportunities, right? Same thing with Daniel Gafford, and we'll get to him next week. And we'll talk about Kobe White more next week too, but he's going to make those dudes earn the minutes. Like Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono at least were on this roster last year and showed enough to where Jim Boylan is in favor of both of those guys. So you could see rotations early on where you see a mix of all five of the point guards getting some opportunity in small stretches. I think it's going to be about who steps up and provides that opportunity and wants it and gains those minutes. So I'm curious too. I don't think Kobe White we're going to see a whole lot of him, at least in the first half of the season. So my expectations again are very, very mild on him. Just excited for him to get in here, get working out in the NBA, and try to build some chemistry with some of those other guys. But the other thing I had on Ryan Arcidiacono real quick was, RPM. We talked about RPM a lot this season. Just it's ESPN's way to all encompass basically a ranking of every player in the NBA. Now, there's not one single stat that you can point to that will be able to do this and definitively categorize all these guys, but I like RPM just to take a look at it in conjunction with everything else we were talking about. And I find it kind of interesting that Ryan Arcidiacono shows up. If you go through the point guards listed in RPM last year, 105, he came up number 34 in RPM at a positive 0.08. This factors a lot of things in offense and defensive contributions, as well as your teammates and opponents. So I was surprised to see Ryan Arcidiacono this high up on the list. So maybe we should factor in his impact on the floor for guys around him, as opposed to just individually what he's going to do as far as stats go. Do you feel like that's going to be a gateway for him to earn himself some more minutes, is the fact that he can do a little bit of everything and he's not looking to score first as well?
Yeah, and I think it's the exact same reason why this team signed Satoransky and Thad Young. It is guys that can make their teammates better and specifically make the focal points of this young core, a.k.a. Markkanen, Levine, Wendell, better without pulling focus. Low usage, high efficiency. That's why they signed Satoransky. That's why they signed Thad Young. And that's, I think, a very similar reason why you can see Arcidiacono getting some minutes this season. Because other than protecting the ball and finding looks for his teammates whose job it is to score the ball and then occasionally knocking down a three when he's off the ball, that's what he does. And those are the kinds of moves that this team made this offseason.
Anything else? I expect a good season again out of Ryan Arcidiacono. I'm hoping the three-point shooting stays, as well as the smart plays and the defense. I don't really think I have to worry so much about the smart plays, the intelligence, the basketball IQ, any of that. I think that's all just going to continue to get better for him. I'm hoping the three-point shot stays with him, though. That was something I don't want to see out of him at the start of December through like mid-January. And again, the entire Bulls team shot like dog shit from three in those 6 weeks. So I will give Ryan Arcidiacono a little bit of a break, but the rest of the season was pretty good. Again, those numbers shooting pre and post All-Star break at 36.1 and then 41.7 is pretty damn good for a dude in his second year coming off a G League contract. So I hope that stays with him. You have anything else on Archie and Shaq Harrison?
Yeah, I mean, just I'm looking forward to a hopefully, as you said, healthy season. And these guys getting minutes or not getting minutes will be in large part dictated by the key pieces of this roster staying healthy. And, you know, Archie playing 81 games last season, leading the team, was largely out of necessity. But he earned his way back onto this roster because of that. If we have several DNPs from Archie and or Shaq, that will probably be a good thing because it means this team is healthy. But at the same time, some of the most, you know, bearable moments of a grossly unbearable season last year were hustle moments that gets fans out of their seats that came from those two guys. You know, obviously the play of the year where Archie dives out of bounds, saves it to Otto, who then throws it up to Levine for an alley-oop. I mean, that was like not just the best Bulls play of the year. That was one of the most impressive plays of the NBA season last year, and one of the greatest moments that I've seen happen on a Bulls basketball court. And it started because of a hustle play from Archie. And Shaq Harrison doing a lot of those similar things on the defensive end. You know, it sucks that those kind of moments were the silver lining of a god-awful season last year. But as a fan who had to sit there and watch all 82 of those games, I appreciated it. And, you know, fans can say, oh, whatever, you know, the grit, the hustle, the toughness, all those trigger words for Boylan, they're overrated. And, you know, we're living in a world of NBA metrics where you shouldn't care about that stuff as much. And I hear you. I'm just saying they provided us with some of those moments in a really terrible year last year. And if they don't play because the roster's healthy, I'll be fine with that. But when they do get on the court, I will be looking for them to make those hustle plays because I enjoy watching them do it.
I'm with you. That Zach LaVine, Arcidiacono play on ESPN was something else, man. I mean, well, I hope to see both of those guys healthy. Lauri Markkanen healthy, Otto healthy, completely all season long. We should see a hell of a lot more of that coming up this season. Be fun. Be fun if all these guys can continue to stay healthy and we get a good show at the United Center all season long. The last thing I wanted to just mention about these guys, and then we'll touch on Felicio and the two-way contract as well before we get out of here. I was looking at advanced ratings under Jim Boylan last year for Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono. Obviously, factor in the 10-game losing streak has a huge hit to the offensive-defensive rating in January that they had last year, so keep that in mind as well. But Ryan Arcidiacono was a negative 7.1 net rating last year and a negative 9.5 for Shaq Harrison in 58 games under Jim Boylan. The interesting thing here is you mentioned the assist-to-turnover ratio to start this segment with Ryan Arcidiacono, which was great, at 4.37 under Jim Boylan, which is kind of unheard of for a dude that played, what, 20 minutes a night? Shaq Harrison was up there, too, at 2.25 and playing in about 20 minutes as well. So both of those guys have the ability to pass without turning the ball over at a decent clip. And now maybe we can have those two guys teach Zach LaVine about assist to turnover ratio, and hopefully he continues to take care of the ball. But I'm excited for both of these guys. I'm glad that both of these guys are back this year. You know, talking in April when we were going back and forth, and even in March, we were like, damn, man, Shaq just had a really good game. Now do we keep Shaq instead of Ryan Arcidiacono? And then Archie has a good game, and then we're flip-flopping. And we're like, they're going to probably have to pick between one of these guys, and I hate that because I think one of these guys has the ability to be a decent rotation player. I'm just not sure who it is. So I'm glad that they got both of those guys back and at a relatively cheap cost.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about this team that's been rebuilding for the last couple of years and their excess in the backcourt of all these guys and never being able to figure anything out in the post-Derrick Rose years with their backcourt, when you think about some of the guards that we have, you know, so happily seen go, and I'm talking Antonio Blakeney, I'm talking, of course, Cam Payne, my God, Michael Carter Williams, Jaren Grant, Isaiah Cannon,
Jay Felder,
all of these names that we've had to deal with over the last two or three years. The fact that Archie and Shaq both got brought back, I think when you think of all the other garbage that this team, to their own fault, brought in the first place, but has since cut ties with, these two guys, I'm glad that they stuck around.
I got to give the Bulls front office a little bit of credit here. Over the course of the last, now this is going to be the third season in a rebuild, they've been able to pick up guys for basically nothing and find some pretty decent value. I'm talking two seasons in a row now. We talked about David Nwaba in the first year. Last year, Shaq Harrison being cut by the Suns to start the season, the Bulls pick him up for basically nothing, give him a non-guaranteed contract, and he was end up making the roster and ended up signing a contract this year. So good on the Bulls, good on Shaq Harrison as well, but more so, got to give some credit to the front office for finding some of these diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they let Nwaba go,
and
that pissed off a lot of Bulls fans. I didn't think that they should like throw a big sack of money at Nwaba. And you know, Spencer Dinwiddie is another good example of that. Like a guy who, hey, look, we found this guy. Well, he looks pretty good, and then let him go.
I didn't even think about Spencer Dinwiddie.
And I think, you know, with Archie and Shaq last year, credit to them for finding those guys and giving them a shot, but a lot of it was also just about necessity and not having a healthy roster.
It's true. All right. So pretty good. Very excited for both of these guys. Let's get to Felicio. I don't know what to say about Cristiano Felicio, man.
We've talked about, we're really hot on Bobby Portis, McDermott, Nikola Mirotić, Felicio.
See these two, man.
Come on, man.
Nobody laughing at
them. Come on,
what is Felicio doing?
I'm not sure.
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
I would imagine the dude's not going to play at all. That's my gut feeling. No. I guess the biggest question for Felicio is whether or not the Bulls decide to waive him this year. Do you think that there's any possibility that the Bulls decide to waive him throughout this season?
I don't think so. You know, he's still owed a decent amount of money over the next 2 years, and I just don't think that the Bulls are in the position right now to feel the necessity to waive him. Because, what would it really help if, you know, if you want to waive it, then you're just paying Felicio money in years, more years than you would now if you just finished out the contract and let him go, as opposed to then needing all the cap space you can get in a couple of years. Because remember, you know, Felicio's money comes off the books the same summer of 2021 where Otto's money comes off the books, and the Bulls are going to be hopefully a better team on the rise with young stars, with Zach and Lowry and Wendell, and a lot of money to spend in a big free agent year. So to me, all right, well, getting rid of Felicio a year earlier, but then, oh, well, we got to pay whatever stretch money we have to pay Felicio and that extra following. Like, no, to me, I don't. I know Bulls fans are so ready to be rid of this guy, but to me, it's not worth it.
Agreed. I think you're already this deep into it, and if you were going to do it, last year was as good of time as any to do it, if you were going to stretch and waive him. But now, like you said, pay him this year. Maybe you can figure out a buyout in the summer so you don't even have to bring him back next year. If you can figure something out between him, but I would say maybe this is the last year we see Felicio on this roster, because definitely I could see a buyout coming next year before his contract is up. There was something else I was going to say about Felicio as well. There's two things with Felicio if we see him getting playing time this year. It's either the Bulls season's going really well or it's going really badly. Really well is because the Bulls are blowing teams out, and we're seeing Felicio in the game in the last 5 minutes, and they're resting guys.
Wow. There's hadn't even considered that possibility.
Got to consider all options. But if we do see him on the floor and he's playing more than 5 minutes a night, you know things are going really, really bad. Lou Cornett, Daniel Gafford, Thaddeus Young, Wendell Carter Jr., any of those guys are out and injured, and they're pretty much at desperation mode. So let's hope for the former, not the latter, happening, where Bulls are playing really well and they're just throwing Felicio out there for a body.
I mean, my God, just looking at his stats from last year, he played 60 games last year. That is gross just in itself.
He started 16 of them.
No, that was 2 years ago.
Oh, that's wins. I'm sorry. He was in 16 of the wins.
So this most recent season, he came off the bench in 60 games. Season prior, he started 16 in the rebuild year one.
Jesus.
But so, like, if you look at Felicio's per 36 minute stats, 11.6 points, 10.5 rebounds, you're like, oh, okay, shot 53% from the field, because he never shoots from inside or from outside of, you know, half a foot. But then you look at his blocks per 36 minutes is 0.3. A center averaging 0.3 blocks per 36 minutes. How is that possible?
Dude, he had 7 blocks. He had 7 blocks the entire season.
7 blocks in 60 games.
7. 7 in 60 games. He played 746
minutes and he had 7 blocks. Holy shit.
That is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I also wanted to mention this too. Felicio scored 240 points last year in his 60 games. Do you know what that breaks down to? Every point he scored last season, he earned
$33,333. God. Oh. I have to go vomit.
Every
oh
point
God.
Felicio scored last year earned him $33,333. That is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. When you think about the fact that he made nearly half as much as Zach LaVine last year.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about it in that term. Jesus, you're right.
Yuck.
Oh man, poor Felicio.
Any Bulls fans out there still complaining about Zach LaVine's contract?
Yeah, that's true. And we will definitely talk about that as we review Zach LaVine next week. But the last person, let's just touch real quick on Adam Makoka, the two-way player. We saw a little bit of him in summer league. Don't expect a whole lot from him as well. Maybe if the Bulls need somebody desperately, if Chandler Hutchison's not going to be on there on opening night, maybe we see him come up for a game or two in a spot. But I don't see him getting any time playing time for this Bulls team this year. Unless absolute disaster happens, or, I mean, he ends up pulling a Blakeney and leads the G League in scoring or something ridiculous. But I think there is a little bit of potential, and the Bulls have been really good with their two-way contracts over the first 3 years of this being alive.
Yeah, they have. But, you know, I'm with you. I think we're, you know, hopefully we'll get treated to some awesome Makoka to Gafford, you know, lob highlights for Windy City Bulls this season. But I think that's about it. I mean, he's got an interesting history. You know, he was a French prospect. He spent this past season playing in the Serbian Adriatic Basketball Association for team KK Mega BMAX, which is actually, fun fact, where Nikola Jokic spent his first 3 years playing professional ball overseas. He's not a great shooter for being a backcourt guy. In his season playing in the Serbian League last year, he shot just 41% from the field and 32% from downtown. And that was on 4.1 attempts and 28 minutes per game. So not a real threat offensively. He's definitely more of a defense is his calling card kind of player. He can guard 1 through 4 in a stretch. You know, he's 6'5". He's got some good length to him. And like Shaq Harrison, he's definitely a high motor defensive player. So I think that that's probably the bigger reason the Bulls saw him and liked him and brought him in on the two way. Because, you know, the Bulls like their tough, you know, defensive effort kind of guys. And that's definitely what he is. But like you said, I mean, unless, catastrophe strikes, we're not going to see him in anything other than a Windy City Bulls.
One scout, their preview of Adam Makoka, their NBA comparison for him was Josh Okogie, which isn't bad. If Josh Okogie is what he's going to be for the Timberwolves, it's a pretty decent player, at least a rotation player. But even if that's Makoka's ceiling and he ends up reaching there, you may see him in the NBA in a few years. But here's what a scout said about him before the draft started. Tadeu Makoka is a freakish athlete who's still learning how to become a good basketball player. His amazing athleticism and lockdown defender potential make him intriguing. For him to take the next step, though, he has to significantly improve upon his shooting, ball handling, and decision making. He will likely always be by far a better player on defense than offense, but it's essential to him to improve on that end of the floor so that he can become a good rotation player in the future. So, not surprised the Bulls signing a defense first type of guy, especially with Jim Boylan being at the reins of the main team. So I'm not surprised at all by this. The Bulls love their defensive, gritty type of players over offensive first. But yeah, Bulls are good with the two-way contract, so I'm confident that at the very least they can find something, a good look at him, like they got with Raleigh Alkins last year and Ryan Arcidiacno the year before.
Yeah, I guess that is one area where they've certainly found some use. And unfortunately, the reason that we've discovered that this Bulls team has found some value with these new two-way contracts is because, unfortunately, they've been forced to use them because of all the injuries that this team has endured over the last handful of years. But, you know, they're there, so you might as well use them. I think that's, you know, pretty straightforward, and you hope that you don't have to call them up. And like you said, like, use that time to develop these kids, and that maybe they do have an NBA future in front of them, whether it's Makoka or, you know, I mentioned Daniel Gafford. I know some Bulls fans are excited about him. I would say out of the gate, it's far more likely that Luke Kornet is going to get some of those backup minutes at the end of the rotation, because I think you're also going to see Boylan, in addition to Wendell being your starting five, you're going to see Jim Boylan stagger minutes between starters and bench. You're going to see Markkanen get some minutes at the five. You're probably also going to see Thad Young playing some significant minutes at the five. So between that and also having Luke Kornet, who's already established himself as a useful NBA player with the Knicks last season, I think Gafford's pretty much going to be a Windy City Bull for the majority of this upcoming season. But hey, you know, it doesn't mean that you can develop your skills down there.
Yeah, that's actually good. That's actually a good call. I think that we're going to see a lot of smaller lineups this year with Jim Boylan. The Bulls have guys that can switch between a lot of positions. So again, that was one thing that we talked about a few weeks ago, where it's going to be intriguing to see what Jim Boylan does. And this, I think, is really going to test Jim Boylan as a head coach and a basketball mind, is how he decides to stagger guys and what lineups he finds works best. He was able to do it pretty successfully in February, but again, February, very small sample size. And Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen helped him out a shitload with just dropping absolute buckets for an entire month. So Yeah, excited for all of these guys, though. So that was the back end of the bench. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the player previews. If you guys have any thoughts, though, on Archie, Shaq Harrison, the two-way player in Adam Makoka, or on our guy, Cristiano Felicio, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop your voicemails and your text messages there. Give us your thoughts as well. We'll be going through the rest of the player previews more in depth, and as we get towards the starting lineup, each episode will be dedicated to one player, so we'll have full previews of the entire team for you guys next week and throughout the following week, so look out for those. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you again so much for listening. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Thanks to DoorDash for sponsoring today's episode. Again, that promo code is Locked On for $5 off $15 or more on your first order. Download the DoorDash app today. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow to drive you into the weekend. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com